Hindi ko akalain na ang pag-awit ng pambansang awit o lupang hinirang ng isang bantog ng mga awit ay magdudulot ng kontrobersiya at iskandalo. Ngunit nangyari ito when the so-called concert king Martin Rivera sang it in the Pacquiao-Hatton match and gave it a rendition that I found quite interesting but others consider as bordering on the blasphemous as far as the Philippines is concerned. I think the controversy here is classic. The artist's freedom to interpret his piece on the one hand and the law on the singing of the national anthem on the other hand. The law mandates that it must be sung according to the composition of Julian Felipe. I really doubt if Martin Rivera or any of the singers really know that law, but as artists, they have the freedom to interpret as they believe. Some are even suggesting jail time for the artist, which I believe is really going too far. And this is a waste of discussion for a country with so many things to address. If only we could be as purist to the laws that really matter for national progress. As far as I'm concerned, let the artists be. But in the Old Testament, prophets are not artists. They are expected to deliver the words exactly as given to them. They have no freedom to interpret it with a rendition of their own. What separates prophets from everyone else is that whatever was given to them as words from Yahweh must be delivered exactly as given to them. Now, that makes the case of Jonah a real puzzle because there is nothing that we can call his message in the book. The one prophetic sentence he made is about the impending judgment of Nineveh, nothing more. And I believe that the case of Jonah is given to us in order that we may learn from his life, not so much from the content of his message, which is a one single sentence message for Nineveh. Rather, the life of the prophet is the message to us. And we saw in the opening of this series last Sunday, tinawag siya ng Diyos at ang panawagan sa kanya ng Diyos ay pumunta sa Nineveh, ang siyudad na capital ng Assyria. At ang Nineveh, from the standpoint of Jonah, was in the direction of the northeast. Yet, what did he do? He ran away. We are told twice in chapter 1, he ran away from the presence of the Lord. And he went into the opposite direction, westbound to Tarshish. But as the story unfolds, we are familiar with the complications that his attempted escape brought. And from that we learned last week that escaping from God's call is the harder course than obedience. Mas mahirap ang takbuhan ng panawagan ng Diyos kaysa ito'y sundin. Maring nakikita natin maraming mahirap pag sinunod natin ang kautusan o panawagan ng Diyos, subalit ang katotohanan ay mas mahirap kung tayo lumayo at magtangkang takasan ang panawagan ng Diyos. Now, in fairness to Jonah, I said and I explained last week that the idea that Jonah ran away out of cowardice is unfair and unkind. The reason why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh was because Nineveh, as I've said, was the capital of Assyria, the major threat to Israel. Ang Nineveh ang siyang kapitolyo ng Assyria na siyang pinakamalaking banta sa bayan ng Israel. And you can therefore understand the thinking of Jonah at this point. To Jonah's thinking, Nineveh would be better left to its wickedness and be judged by God. And that way, there would be less threat to Israel. Parang gusto ni Jonah, hatulan na lang ng Diyos ang Nineveh. At kapag hinatulan ng Nineveh, wala nang gayong banta sa Israel. Pero bakit ito, pinapupunta pa ako ng Panginoon sa Nineveh upang dalhan sila ng mensahe? Eh makikita natin sa mga susunod na yugto ng kwentong ito na ganun nga ang nangyari, nagsisi at ito'y ikinabahalang lubos ni Jonah. In other words, the reason why Jonah tried to escape is out of patriotic motives. He wanted to protect Israel. He did not want any serious threat. And besides, this was an unprecedented call of God. Walang katulad nito sa mga nakalipas sapagkat ang mensahe ng Diyos ay pawang sa Israel, pawang sa pinili niyang bayan. Ano ito tinatawag si Jonah patungo sa isang bansa, siyudad na hentil na hindi pa nangyayari? sa nakalipas na kasaysayan ng mga propeta. And so for those reasons, you can understand why Jonah attempted to escape, yet, as we saw last week, there is no real escape from God. It was illusion on the part of Jonah to even imagine that he could escape from the presence of God. And so is the illusion that you and I sometimes entertain when we think we can get away with God's call. There is no real escape from God, but even more, there is no total escape from self. Ultimately, Jonah was confronted by way of God's providence. Nagkaroon ng loto doon sa barko. Hindi niya akalain sa kanya pa bumagsak yung lot. And it's all God's way in His providence to confront His escaping servant. What happens next? Well, turn your Bibles now to Jonah chapter 2. Well, I hope you have read the whole chapter. We'll just read a portion of this. Jonah chapter 2. And let us read verses 1 to 4. Jonah 2, verses 1 to 4. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Jump now to verse 7, to verse 10, verses 7 to 10. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let's continue reading chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Now from here, please turn to Matthew chapter 12. And let's read just two verses, verses 39 and 40. Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, as I already explained last week, I will not waste time trying to defend the authenticity of surviving in the belly of the fish. There are cases that have been known that human beings were swallowed in the whale's belly and survived. Now, for purists who say a whale is not a fish, it's mammal. Well, since the categorization of Linnaeus, but not in the time that people always thought of creatures in the sea always as a fish. And that's very easy to answer. I'm not going to waste time trying to defend the authenticity. I take it as authentic because Jesus took it as authentic. Now, in the belly of the fish, Jonah spent 3 days and three nights. And Jonah summarized what happened by way of a composed prayer. Kung ano yung nangyari dun sa tiyan ng isda na kinasadlakan ni Jonah, ang kanyang pagbubuod lamang ay hindi ko ano yung mga naranasan niya roon. I'm sure that would be a very interesting story all by itself. You want to know what happened there. You want to know what he has found there, what he has experienced. But instead, for Jonah, all those 3 days and three nights can be summarized in a pack of prayer. Yun ang kanyang pagbubuod. Yung kanyang naranasan sa tiyan ng isda ay kanyang binuod sa isang panalangin. Although that experience must have been memorable, and we would be interested to know, but at this point, Jonah was interested only in one thing. Only one thing mattered to him. He was found in disobedience. Now he needed restoration. And that's what his prayer contains, a plea for God's restoring grace. The prayer also reveals Jonah's knowledge of the Psalms, because the statements, almost all the statements of this prayer, are rooted in psalmist verses. Kumbaga, ginagamit ni Jonah rito yung kaalaman niya ng kasulatan, at sigurado naman akong wala siyang dalang Biblia doon sa loob ng isda, pero yung kaalaman niya ay ginamit niya. Eh dito, kailangan natin ng kaalamang nakalagay sa ating isipan, nasa sa ulo natin, at nagagamit natin sa mga ganitong pagkakataon. And so Jonah's knowledge of the Psalms helped him in this situation. And the note of the prayer of Jonah is one of contrition with appreciation for God's graciousness. And in the end, Jonah found himself back to square one, hearing the same commission, but now ready to obey. And I think, looking at that life, there is a message to us. The message is in the life of Jonah himself. And what is that message? Let me put it this way. Appreciation of God's grace in the consciousness of the depths of our disobedience prepares us for obedience. Let me repeat that. Appreciation of God's grace in the consciousness of the depths of our disobedience prepares us for obedience. Yung pagkilala natin sa biyaya ng Diyos habang namamalayan natin yung lalim ng ating pagsuway, ang siyang naghahanda sa atin upang sumunod. Now here, the language of Jonah reflects where he was. He spoke of being cast into the deep. Itinapon siya sa kalaliman. Ay, talagang nasa kalaliman siya. In fact, to him, he called it Sheol. And what is Sheol? Sheol in the Old Testament is the region of the departed, the place where the dead go. Yan yung rehiyon para sa kaisipan ng lumang tipan, kung saan doon napupunta ang mga namamatay na. At para kay Jonah, ganito na yung sitwasyon niya. He was as good as dead. And he called it Sheol. But we can see this experience of Jonah in two phases. And those two phases will often be reflected in our own experience. First, contrition renewed. Second, commission regained. Contrition renewed, ang una ay yung kabagbagan niya, ay napanibago niya. And then yung panawagan niya, commission regained, ang panawagan niya ay muli niyang nakamit. Let's look at contrition renewed. While still in the boat, we already saw Jonah confronted and expressing his conviction of sin in the presence of the mariners. Sa harap ng mga marino na kasama niya, ay ikinumpisal na niya yung kanyang kasalanan. Sinabi niya, I am a Hebrew. And he was running away from God's call. So in the presence of unbelievers, he was forced to admit his own disobedience. And now, alone in the belly of the fish, he expressed his contrition. The realization of his disobedience filled him with guilt. Itong nangyayari kay Jonah, yung natuklasan niya o na amin niya yung kanyang pagsuway sa Diyos, ay puspos siya ng damdami ng kanyang kasalanan. Using the vocabulary of being in Sheol, he is acknowledging that this is what he deserved. And what do we learn about contrition from this? A contrite spirit admits the gravity of disobedience. There is no resort to excuses. Jonah was simply saying he was just plain guilty. And that's contrition. Ang tunay na kabagbagan ay hindi gumagamit ng mga pangangatwiran, mga pagpapalusot. Ang tunay na kabagbagan ay simpleng pag-amin ng kabigatan ng pagkakasala, kabigatan ng kanyang pagsuway sa Diyos. He was just plain guilty. Jonah already admitted his offense, and now there is no blaming of God for the terrible situation he was in. What he was now undergoing in the belly of the fish, he acknowledged as from God. Itong Jonah chapter 2 ay puno ng second person address to God. Listen to him say, "You cast me into the deep. All your billows and your waves passed over me." Yung mga alon, yung mga kanyang nararanasan galing sa Diyos, at wala siyang paninisi. There is no blaming of God. He admits that he was in a place that God intended for him because of his disobedience. Now you see, brethren, it is not contrition if we carry the attitude that God is being too hard on us, that we are in a situation we do not deserve. Hindi tunay na kabagbagan kapag meron tayong saloobin na masyadong mahigpit ang Diyos sa akin. Nilagay niya ako sa sitwasyon na hindi karapat-dapat sa akin. Kahit na ako'y nagkasala, hindi naman siguro dapat ganito ang aking naging sitwasyon. But think of this, brother and sister. What could be worse than the situation of Jonah? From whatever angle you look at it, this is terrible. Consider it from a purely physical standpoint. Especially if you're a squeamish person, you'd probably get sickened to death inside the belly of the fish. I'm not going to say that I have a intestinal fortitude. I can be squeamish myself, but imagine myself in that situation, in the belly of the fish, what could be inside? 1 hour there would make me throw up. 3 days and three nights for Jonah. Then consider from a social standpoint, a social perspective, he was totally alone. There was no one to share his plight with. Hindi ba tayo kung nasa isang mahirap na sitwasyon, pero kung may kasama, hindi tayo agad bumibigay. Company gives us some strength. Well, not in the case of Jonah. In the belly of the fish, he was totally alone. No one to share it. No one to ask. No one to spend time with. As I've said, just 1 hour in that situation would have been a most horrible experience, but 3 days and three nights. But as we shall see, even that number of days and nights is by a calculated purpose of God. Pati yung bilang ng kanyang inilagi doon ay kalkuladong layunin ng Diyos. And yet, physically, socially, it was a horrible situation, but Jonah was not occupied with the filth of his surrounding. He was not occupied with his loneliness. What occupied him was his terrible sin against God. And he was expressing it in contrition, an admission of the gravity of his offense, an admission of guilt. Hindi siya okupado nung karumihan ng kanyang paligid, hindi siya okupado nung lungkot, nangungulila sa kanyang pag-iisa, ang kanyang nararamdaman ay yung kanyang kasalanan. No blaming whatsoever. I remember when the death penalty was restored in our country, the first one on whom it was executed was Leo Echegaray. Wala na ako ibang matanda ang pangalan pagkatapos niya, pero yun ang tandang-tanda ko, Leo Echegaray, for the rape of a minor. And yet, during the days leading to his execution, there was no regret. It's just all blaming. And then his last words were, Pilipino, pinatay ang kapwa Pilipino. Bisitahin niyo yung kanyang nitso, nakalagay na doon yung last words na yun. Hanggang sa kanyang kamatayan, paninisi. Walang pag-amin ng kanyang kasalanan. And that's not contrition. Just reflect on the gravity of disobedience. If you have been refusing to do so, perhaps in God's providence, you will be put in a situation that will force you to reflect on that guilt. If you are outside the grace of salvation, reflect on the gravity of your situation without Christ. If you die in that condition, it will not just be 3 days and three nights somewhere. It will be an eternal hell. And I ask you to consider the gravity of your situation. This is not something that you can simply consider as one of those miseries of life. This is real misery that will accompany you to eternity. And what about you, Christian? If you are living in disobedience to God's call, reflect on its gravity. Reflect on its guilt. But here is one thing about contrition, as we see in Jonah's prayer. Contrition is a renewing act of drawing to God for restoration. Ang kabagbagan ay pagpapanibago ng paglapit sa Diyos upang makapanumbalik. In Jonah's expression of contrition, it is notable that there is nothing about promising to go to Nineveh. Para bang hirap naman ito, Lord. Sige na nga, punta na ako Nineveh. Hindi ganun ang espiritu ng kabagbagan. Para bang nalagay ka lang sa sitwasyon kasi hindi mo nasunod yung kung ano. It is all about God Himself. And the repenting servant needed to restore himself to God. In other words, he ran away from God more than from Nineveh. Nineveh would be an issue, but that would come later. But for Jonah, he needed to restore himself to God. And twice we read how Jonah resolved to visit the temple. I will look again toward your holy temple. And you ask, temple? What temple could Jonah visit in the belly of the fish? But that's the point. By being in the presence of God, the filthiest surrounding can be transformed into God's temple. And Jonah needed to deal with God. And that tells us, do not make an excuse of how distracting your surrounding is. Do not say that your surrounding is unconducive for communion with God and make an excuse of prayerlessness. Make an excuse why you don't worship God. Make an excuse why you don't have a flourishing testimony in the eyes of people around you. And there are those Christians who will never stand above their surroundings and they will always be defeated because they think the fault is on their surroundings, on their environment. Again, what could be worse than Jonah's surrounding? And yet, there, he resolved to be in the temple of the Lord. Kahit pa dun sa pinakamarumi, pinakaayaw muna kalagayan, yet there, you can have dealings with God. Jonah reveals here his familiarity with Psalm 139. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. Even the most unlikely place can be a temple if you are dealing with God. In fact, Jonah mentioned something that acknowledges favor. His words were, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. He is saying, I am glad that in a situation like this, I do not have to deal with mere idols, but with a true God. It is a mercy indeed. And that tells you and me, in the worst of our sin and disobedience, we may draw near to God. We may deal with God. In the worst of our sin and disobedience, do not renew your duties first. Deal with God first. It is He against whom we sin and we disobey. To God first then. But from there, Jonah resolves his commitment. I will pay what I have vowed, he said. And what incited this renewed commitment of Jonah? He attaches those words, salvation is of the Lord. Ibibigay ko ang aking ipinanata sapagkat ang kaligtasan ay sa Panginoon. The thought of saving grace, in other words, the fullness of the benefits of salvation provoked in Jonah this commitment, renewal of his commitment. Jonah was thinking, I am a beneficiary of such wonderful grace of salvation. How could have I disobeyed the one who saved me? Again, Jonah here reveals his familiarity with Psalm 116, 12 to 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of my salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Pag-isipin mo yung mga pakinabang na ibinigay sa iyo ng Panginoon, think of your own benefits from the grace of God. Certainly not least of those is His saving grace. Can you be lax? Can you be cold in the light of the grace of God? What is it that you may be running away from? And you and I need periodically some expression of contrition and renewal of commitment to God. This is what Jonah did. Contrition renewed. But from there, we come to the second point, commission regained. Yung kanyang panawagan ay muli niyang tinanggap. Now, here is again an interesting observation in the passage. As surely as God prepared a fish that swallowed up Jonah, as we saw last week, now here, the words are, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Simply put, God could speak to His creatures. Inanimate, animal, human. And at this point, God spoke to the fish. And the words of the commission are again spoken to Jonah, very similar to the initial commission. But Jonah, this time, chapter 3 tells us, obeyed according to the word of the Lord. Original commission, Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord. Now, commission regained, Jonah obeyed according to the word of the Lord. What do we learn here? We learn that it is out of God's compassion that He brings back to the right starting point a disobedient servant. Mula sa kahabagan ng Diyos na di binabalik niya ang sumuway na lingkod, ibinabalik niya sa tamang pasimula uli. He brings us back to the right starting point. And I am touched by those little words. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. What lovely words. You and I can sometimes be very stringent and unforgiving. If you don't do it the first time, no more second chance. And aren't we glad that our God is the God for second timers, even third timers, and more? I know of very good lawyers who yet did not pass the bar the first time they took it. And others might have just given up. Yung una nilang tangka na mag-exam sa bar, hindi pumasa. And yet, the next attempt, they passed and they proved to be very good lawyers. Eh, yung punto rito ay, ganito ang Diyos natin. He is the God for second timers, even third timers. Now, what that should not create in us is presumption. Proverbs 29:1, he who is often reproved but hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But it does show the God of compassion. So here Jonah, after 3 days and 3 nights in an incomprehensible situation, the fish regurgitated Jonah back to dry land, and another chance for the prophet. And the challenge of this to us is, have your commitment recharged. Do not let initial failure paralyze you. God is gracious. We saw that in our scripture reading. After the terrible sin in Horeb, God could have judged the whole nation. And yet what happened in God's instruction to Moses, he had to prepare another set of stones so that God may rewrite the Ten Commandments, a second chance. When you fail, don't make it a period. Here is Jonah. His life is the message. And here is the message. Once a runaway, you can yet be in the path of obedience. The disobedience need not be the last word in your life. In fact, as we shall see, as we progress in the story, Jonah will make more mistakes. Well, it is bad enough that we make mistakes and do wrong. It is worse when we don't learn from those mistakes and those wrongs. But that is the graciousness of our God. God deals ever so patiently and gently with Jonah. Eh, kung ako yun, ganito yung lagi na lang sinasabi, kung reklamo ni Jonah, eh, baka maubos pasensya mo. Gusto mong batukan tong si Jonah. Anong ka ba? Hindi ka ba matuto? And yet, the way God deals with him is ever so patient, ever so gentle, teaching him, bringing him to where he should be. And God's dealing with Jonah as patient and as gentle as that was. That is the way God deals with us. That is the message to you and me. And yet, there is even a deeper message which Jesus himself took from this experience of Jonah. Can you imagine what possible message could have been taken from such a horrible experience that no one else in all biblical history ever had gone through? In the belly of the fish, 3 days and three nights. What could be a good message out of that? Well, that was Jesus' text. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Can you imagine? The most horrible of situation was intended by God to be a sign of the greatest of God's redemptive deed, the death and resurrection of the Son of God. Jonah would have no idea. Oh, but leave to God the way to get something good out of the bad situation. Out of the worst situation possible, God took the best message possible. And now with Jesus, we have a greater than Jonah. He failed the first time, the second chance came. And if Jonah had that reason to recharge his commitment, we all have a greater reason and motivation to serve God and obey. Tomorrow, May 11, is a personal commemoration of sort to me. I was converted April 18, 1981. I was there then a Bible school student, everything. And yet the Lord reached out to me on that night of April 18, 1981. And because of that genuine conversion after years and years of false profession of faith, a lot of my convictions needed to be restated, needed to be spelled out. And on a Monday morning, 3 weeks after, it was May 11, 1981, I wrote my pastor a letter telling him of my renewed convictions that I can no longer go along with some of the views and practices of the church because God has changed my views and my convictions. It was Monday, May 11, 1981. That Monday, the pastor called a special meeting of the church. And that Monday night, on the very same day, 12 hours after my writing of the letter, he called for the meeting of the church and I was excommunicated. And not like the excommunication we do in this church, which I believe is biblical. I was there in the church when the excommunication was decided upon and I was taken out of the church. Well, the reason why that is important to me is because it was then that I knew that if you will make a commitment to God and you will make a hold fast to your convictions on the Word of God, there are certain things you will have to give up. There are certain things that your commitment will call you to suffer. And this is, I believe, what Jonah had to learn. He had to learn that he cannot run away from God, and yet, glory to God, he is a God of compassion, a God of patience. When the second chance came, Jonah seized it, and he obeyed according to the word of the Lord. Maybe someone here is running away. Maybe someone here has been deferring a step of obedience, of accepting a call. And probably God is putting you back to square one. We'll seize the opportunity. It may be difficult, it may require some suffering, but that is what God's call is intended to make us realize, to make us experience. But imagine Jonah, after going through all that, became the sign that Jesus chose. He said, no other sign except the sign of Jonah. Well, Jesus called himself a greater than Jonah. He is worthy of all the service you and I can pay him. Let's close in prayer. Muli nagpapasalamat kami, Panginoon, sa buhay ni Jonah na nakita namin sa yugtong ito. Isang kakilakilabot na karanasan na siya ay nasa tiyanang isda. Ngunit maging ito ay ayon sa iyong paghahanda. And we see a man who in the consciousness of the depths of his disobedience, while in such a situation, it was not the filth of the surrounding, not the loneliness of his situation, but what occupied him was the gravity of his disobedience. And the one thing that mattered to him is that he be restored to you. And Father, you do bring us to a situation like that. It will never be like that of Jonah, for you have determined that he would be a singular sign of that great deed of the death and resurrection of the Son of God. And yet, you bring us to a situation where we are made and forced to reflect on our disobedience, on our running away from your commission. And we pray, O Lord, that we will not be filled with blaming and excuses. Rather, help us to be filled with the gravity of our offense and our disobedience. And yet, in that very act of contrition is renewing our drawing to you for restoration. And Father, we pray that we would see indeed that because of your saving grace, we are beneficiaries. And that there is no reason whatsoever that we should be lax and cold in the light of your abundant grace upon us. And so we thank you that you reveal yourself through this story as a God of compassion, the God of second timers, third timers. Indeed, in the multiplicity of our offenses, any one of those could have just been the cause of our doom. And yet, again and again, you bring us back to yourself. You bring us to square one, to the right starting point. And we pray, O Lord, that like Jonah, after his failure, he seized on that opportunity to obey according to the word of the Lord. And you may be dealing with us, with someone in that very situation of running away from you. And grant to the Lord that you bring him to the right starting point. Give us the conviction that once we fail, once we disobey, that need not be the last word, but that we could be back in the path of obedience. And help us, Lord, to recharge our commitment, not to allow initial failure to paralyze us, but to renew our sense of your graciousness. And as you have dealt with Jonah, and as we shall see you dealing with Jonah again and again, you have dealt with him ever so patiently and gently. And his life is the message to us. And yet, that very experience brings us to view the greatest of your redemptive deeds, the dying and the rising again of the Son of God. Speak to those who are still outside a pale of saving grace, that they may see the gravity of their situation, that it is not something to trifle with. It is something that ever threatens them with eternal damnation. And yet bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Refresh in us believers the sense of commitment. Recharge our commitment to you in our service and obedience, because we are now serving one who is greater than Jonah, one who was not just in the belly of the fish, but 3 days and three nights was in the heart of the earth, dead, and yet he rose again. And because of our risen Savior, there is every reason for us to commit ourselves fully to you. May we therefore render to you all the service that we can pay because of the great salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.